Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, the movie review and talk show podcast that comes your way every Saturday, whether you're ready for it or not, in our quest for total world domination.
And domination of your soul.
And yes. The afterlife. Exactly. Yes. These are the internet radio superstars.
Holly.
Michaela.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we watched a movie that was chosen by...
Colin, what did we watch tonight?
Tonight we watched... The Prophecy.
Ooh, not, the
not,
Prophecy.
Not yeah, Prophecy.
The Prophecy. Yeah.
The
Prophecy.
The John Frankenheimer movie yeah. from the 80s. Okay. This was The okay. Prophecy.
There's a bit of a difference there.
Yes.
Yes.
What year was this from?
It was unleashed upon the public in 1995.
95. Mm-hmm. Interesting time in movies.
Right?
Who directed this?
This is written and directed by Gregory Wyden.
Do we know Gregory Wyden? That's a name.
I think it's Wyden. Wyden?
Wyden?
Wyden? How do we say this?
How do you spell it?
W-I-D-E-N.
I'd say Wyden.
Wyden. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do we know this Gregory Wyden?
You do. You know him as a writer because he also wrote the movie Highlander.
Oh.
All of a sudden, you're like, wait a
previous
second.
Episode, Highlander.
Wait a
yes.
second.
In addition to that,
mm-hmm.
so Highlander, I guess he wrote as a thesis project,
okay.
Screenwriting in college. But I think either he or his brother was a firefighter, and he turned that experience into the screenplay Backdraft.
No, oh, wow. Oh, the famous Backdraft.
Shit.
Yeah.
I have seen Backdraft a lot.
I'm sure in your house with your dad. Is that your dad's favorite movie?
My dad hates that.
Oh, really? Is it not accurate?
Because he's a fireman and that movie's ridiculous.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Wow, he likes a movie that they are realistic with the fireman activities.
How does he feel about Kirk Cameron's Fireproof?
I don't think he's ever seen that one. He likes, his favorite is Ladder 49.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah. That's, he says that's pretty close.
Okay.
All right, well,
yeah, he approves that one.
I need your dad's letterbox list of all firefighter movies ranking.
Is it right? Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like the when they talk about the fire talking,
yeah.
he pretty much gets up and leaves the room.
Yeah,
like he can't even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as he sees them walking with their jacket open and no mask, he's like, I'm out. He can't take it.
Man, so the opening to Halloween Kills must be like a legitimate nightmare for him when Michael Myers is going on all those firefighters, you know?
Yeah. He would never watch that, but I imagine he'd have opinions.
Do you think he would just be out in the movie immediately? Because that is the first scene of that movie. Do you think he would be like, I'm out.
Yeah, none of this is realistic. Yeah. I can't take it. I'm out.
Yeah,
that's how I felt when I saw that movie.
I know,
but,
like,
you know,
right? Yeah,
see our episode in Halloween Kills.
Like, we all remember how we felt about that. Mm-hmm. Just not good. No, he doesn't like scary movies at all. So he wants nothing to do with horror at all.
Has he seen The Prophecy?
No, I guarantee he hasn't.
Has he seen The Prophecy too?
No, the closest he'll get, because this is a Christopher Walken movie, as we will talk about, he'll watch Sleepy Hollow with me.
Oh, good.
He likes Sleepy Hollow. Yeah, he'll watch that with
me.
But that's about it. That's like his limit of horror. Yeah, he doesn't do it.
I mean, we said Highlander, right?
Right.
Are they
still doing that remake? Is that still in the works with Henry Cavill, right?
Was gonna I think be... so.
Right, he was cast because he was in The Witcher, right? He was like,
he's okay, like so the he's fantasy be... guy now.
I don't know what happened to that. I mean, we're getting a Crow remake, so it feels like Highlander is right there for...
I love that it's like, there can be only one, except we keep making them.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, anyway, man, who would be the Kurgan in a Highlander remake? It'd probably be like Jason Momoa, right?
Right.
I would think so.
Or Dave Bautista.
Oh, yeah. Dave Bautista would be good. Yeah, Dave Bautista would be good. Yep.
Or now Conor McGregor, because he's Irish.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can all see
right.
that.
Timestamp this for when we're right in a year and a half.
Gosh.
But Highlander is a movie about immortal warriors traveling through time. They're having a war on Earth. And right, it kind of sounds like that's the bare bones plot for The Prophecy.
Yeah.
What was in the water in 1995? Okay, so there have been angels visiting Earth in movies before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a Wonderful Life, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you go back that far. But this to me, and maybe my cinematic, maybe I'm wrong, but the idea of like the vengeful angel, like angels are always kind of portrayed as, you know, on the side of good, I suppose. Yeah. Right. But the prophecy takes a different tact and says, okay, they're these warrior angels that are killers, you know?
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, if you've studied the Bible at all, like the way angels are described in the Bible, they are like fearsome creatures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People fall down like dead in shock from
they're
witnessing.
Like fiery, big beings. Like they're terrifying.
A bunch of crazy eyes.
And yeah.
Stuff.
So if you're going for like accuracy, they probably would be more like this. Right. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah.
But I don't think I'd ever seen that before represented in a movie.
No. People like revisionist history of the Bible.
Yeah.
But there is like at this time, right? I mean, I remember there was a foreign film called Wings of Desire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About angels coming to earth and becoming mortal. And then that we had a remake, City of Angels.
Yeah, with Al Pacino, right?
That one was it Nicolas Cage?
Oh, that one. Okay.
Or was it John Travolta?
I'm thinking of Angels in America. Yep, different thing entirely.
Cage, right? And Meg Ryan?
Oh, City of Angels.
Yes, City of Angels. Yep.
I was doing the same
thing. I was like, Angels in America. No, that's not it.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, City of Angels.
But John Travolta was an angel?
Michael.
Okay,
that movie needs to be talked about.
I've had it on my list for the freak show to bring, but that it's movie, a weird movie.
That movie needs to be talked about.
Okay, yeah, I think this is what you're getting at, Colin, but what was in the water that, like, in the mid to late 90s, we had this burst of, like, angel content?
Yeah.
And, more specifically, why did the uniform become, like, hoodie over trench coat, like, trench coat over hoodie? Because so many movies, Michael does that, like, John Travolta has that.
Yeah.
Dogma? There was scenes in this movie that I was like, this looks like how the angels are dressed in Dogma.
And even like movie, like there's just
Supernatural.
Yeah.
That's what they dress like.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
for sure. And even just like the central, like stylistically movies in this, but like the craft was very much like with the crosses and
the goth.
Yeah. Thing. The goth thing, like very symbolic. Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Like it's just very religious stylistically.
In the culture right now. Yeah.
It's crazy.
But even the year prior to this, The Crow came out. And if I remember correctly, even though I had read the comic and knew what the movie was about, was basically a zombie coming back. The tagline on the poster, if you remember, for that movie was believe in angels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's like an avenging angel, right?
As an avenging angel kind of character. And he also has that same getup, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the black trench coat kind of became, you know, like we said, I think before, the cape of superheroes became the trench coat, but it also gives you that flowing kind of, that's the wings, right? So they all wear the trench coats because it gives them the length and, you know, and wings.
And the hoodie is so that we blend in with the humans, right? Like, that's the casual part of it.
Because we got to hide our wings underneath
it. Or is it like the hood is the halo?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
What's the biblical? It's the robe.
Yeah.
The robe,
right?
Yeah.
That, like the Jedi cloak. Mm-hmm. That,
lots of robes.
And Touched by an Angel's on TV at this point, too. Man, angel content is everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The more I think about it, the more examples I think of. It's wild.
Yeah.
The response to the satanic panic.
Yeah.
Right. So the 90s was where they went. They swung the other way into, you know, we're gonna bring
We should put together the documentary about this because
the timeline of spirituality in society. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then the horror guys were like, well, we can make angels scary. Mm-hmm. And then that led to, I don't think I ever saw it, Legion.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I have not watched
it. Is Paul Bettany an angel?
Yes.
Okay. So that seemed
like
a prophecy movie, right? When that came out.
The TV show, too. But that's completely different.
Is it?
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think the movie was about like angels and demons converging on a bar in the middle of the.
Okay.
And Dennis Quaid's in it. All the people stuck in the. Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
So maybe this is. We don't know. Somebody out there is going to correct us.
Constantine movie, a devil movie?
He's in it. The devil shows up.
The devil's in it.
And so is Tilda Swinton Gabriel?
I think so.
In that movie also.
Winter's Tale, that is a secret angel movie.
That's right.
It's not revealed until way late in the movie. And if you find out Will Smith is the devil.
Yeah.
And he's wearing like band t-shirts, like ACDC t-shirts and stuff. Man, and I think he has a hoodie jacket combo in that movie too.
Because why not? That is when Earthbound.
Yeah.
Right. This is what the angels wear, you know, so they can get on subway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, when I had to pretend to be an angel,
in chicken wire hell.
I wore khakis and a white t-shirt. Mm.
Yeah. The casual, business casual that angel,
was,
yes.
That was angel attire.
Yeah, what the?
White t-shirt and khakis.
Why aren't angels wearing all white?
I know.
It's a great question. I don't know.
Why are they all in black in these movies? Like, what the? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're saying that probably a lot of these folks didn't actually attend their seminary school or whatever. They're like, okay, there's something here that we can capitalize on and make a horror movie. Is it a horror movie, The Prophecy?
There's horror-ish elements.
Yeah. It's not science fiction. I guess you put it in the horror section, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Your video store.
It's like religious fantasy thriller horror.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It would go next to like the Da Vinci Code, wherever that movie goes, you know?
Well, that'd be a thriller.
Angels and Demons.
It would go next to Stigmata.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Stigmata.
There's so many of these movies. The
End of Days.
Yep.
Yep.
There's so many.
So, but those were 2000, you know, that was 99, right?
That was 99. Yeah, that was 99.
Okay, so the other thing about this movie that kind of made it notable at the time was that it had this kind of sheen of respectability about it because of its cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can see that.
The cast, like looking at it now, the cast is so fucking random.
Mm-hmm.
So random.
But at least three of the people in it had been in Pulp Fiction the year before.
Right.
Right? Because you have Eric Stoltz, uh-huh. Christopher Walken,
uh-huh.
and Amanda Plummer
yep.
are all in both. So it's coming from Miramax, who put out Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. But it has like these indie actor, like respected indie actors in it, I guess. Yeah. And it seems like, you know, you guys were just in Pulp Fiction
mm-hmm.
and now you're in The Prophecy. We should go see The Prophecy. It's a very different movie.
Mm-hmm. Very, very different.
So what is The Prophecy about?
It's a good question.
Is it? You just saw it.
It's a really good question.
There's a ongoing religious war.
Yeah, there's a second war
in heaven.
Yeah, yep. This is Angel World War II.
Yep.
Okay, but why don't we know about Angel World War II in the Bible?
It's not talked about. It's right. In like one tiny passage
in the editor's edition of the Bible.
Yeah,
which is carried around by an angel.
Yeah,
the angel Uzziel.
That's the one.
Carries his own version of the Bible.
I think they
with
all
an
have,
extra chapter in the Revelation.
They all have their own like issued Bible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cute. I mean, I think it's pretty cute.
Mm-hmm. So
like, they finish angel school and they get their little Bible.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And
like, which is the cult that I went to.
Yeah.
When you graduate your third year, you get your own little Bible with your name on it. Mm-hmm. So it checks.
It was like written in Latin or something. I think that he's got. It's like hand illustrated.
It's like angel language symbols. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
All right. So our characters, right? So we're introduced to Eric Stoltz is in this movie as the angel Simon, who has come to Earth and explains to us that there's a war in heaven. And now, you know, it's come to Earth. But here on Earth, they are mortal. That's important, I think. Right. Mm-hmm. Until the movie doesn't care about that anymore.
They have a purpose on Earth.
OK. What's that purpose?
Because they're not here to stay. They're going back up to the Angel War. They're just here to like recruit a very specific. They're here to recruit souls, but a very specific soul.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Explain this to me. How is this going to help them win the war?
That's a good question.
Whose soul are they after?
So they're after like the most evil son of a bitch soul there is
that's ever lived. Okay.
Which, I mean, he beat out a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's just like that one soul is being reused over and over again. And it's just like building up evil.
Yep.
Like it was Hitler and now it's this guy.
Yep.
I don't know.
Well, it does say, because there is a prophecy in the hitherto unknown 23rd chapter of the Book of Revelations that there will be a soul, the most evil soul, that will consume other evil souls. And it is a man,
lieutenant,
and it and he is a warrior. That's all we're told. But through the course of the movie,
Sergeant General,
He's a colonel.
Colonel. That's it. Yeah. Yep, there it is.
So I think that's what's happened, right? Eric Stoltz has come to Earth, and somehow his detective angel has figured out that in the little town of Chimney Rock, Arizona, there once lived a man, this colonel, decorated. No, he's not. He's a forsaken army officer, right?
Yeah.
Who fought during the Korean War.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And resorted to cannibalism. Apparently, he's like he's America's Vlad Tepish.
Yeah.
He put people on stakes.
Yeah.
And he ate them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's evil. And
ripped their faces off.
Yes. Yep.
And kept them in a box.
Yep. Like you do.
Yeah. And he has died recently.
Died. Yeah. Just like died of old age. Like just died.
It's not fair for someone like that.
Not fair.
And so we got to go get his soul.
Yeah. Because. Yeah, they got. He's got. Eric Stoltz got to get to it first because Gabriel is coming to look for the soul because that's like the secret weapon for, to win the Angel War.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying
the most evil spirit to ever exist is the secret weapon
to win the Angel War
for both sides.
Okay, I'm saying it now. This is just a 2-hour version of Supernatural.
I was going to say Supernatural would not exist without this movie.
Right. This is a 2-hour episode of Supernatural.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, they basically, there's a market for this. And so obviously there's something to this concept because that probably outweighs the actual sum of the movie's parts because there was, and I counted them, 5 prophecy movies total.
5.
3 of which star Christopher Walken, 2 of which went direct to video, and then there are 2 additional ones after that.
Wow, that surprises me that he did 3 of them.
I know. You're like, it's Christopher Walken. But I think Christopher Walken as an actor was one of those guys, especially during this period, who basically took anything that he was offered and was probably saving up for retirement or saving up for the extra house or, you know, more 16 mortgages. His, he had. I mean, I don't know.
His BMW Super Bowl commercial was really funny, I thought, actually.
It was really
funny. Because I did think, man, it must be annoying to be Christopher Walken and people always do impressions at you. That must be
that was
so
a funny
annoying.
Commercial.
Yeah, that commercial was funny as fuck. But when I saw that, I was like, can this man rest? Like, why are you still working so hard, sir?
He's in Dune.
I know.
Like, sir, you have earned retirement at this point. Like he just
loves the loves the work.
Loves
maybe.
What he does.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe that's
and
why he worked
him.
So much back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is his movie by far.
Yes. I think, no, he is the gem in this movie.
But he is not like the main protagonist. And maybe this is something that the movie has its script has is kind of like all over the map.
Mm.
Well, first, before we move on, the reason that the angels have to get this guy's soul is explained to us later that the apparently humans know more about just being evil than angels do. And so if we can recruit this guy, he can guide God's army.
Which, I mean, in theory, I would understand, but based on the actions that we see of Christopher Walken, I don't really believe that.
Right.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
No, because I think from a script point of view, you have to have a MacGuffin. Why are they, it's cool. There's a war in heaven. Mm-hmm. Angels come to Earth. They're fighting for something. What? Mm-hmm. They have to find something on Earth. And what's it going to be? How about an evil human soul? And everybody yawns and goes like, yeah, rubber stamp. Let's do it.
Yep.
Yep, there it is right there. That's it. There's my review.
So Eric Stoltz, even though he's in this movie, right?
He's Simon.
He's not the main character.
He's not.
He gets into a fight pretty early on with another angel and becomes mortally wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow makes his way from wherever the movie starts. Is it New York? We never established. I don't think it's a big city.
Yeah.
But he gets into it with Ucille.
Yes.
Right off the bat. Which we get our first instance of like angels sensing each other.
Mm-hmm.
They can smell each other. And they never really specify why or what that is.
Yeah, because they're like sniffing licking stuff.
Sniff and they like automatically, it's like a dog. Like they automatically just like catch the scent.
That felt
like
very supernatural.
Supernatural.
There's a lot of sniffing in this movie.
A lot of sniffing. Licking.
And it just, for the entire rest of the movie, I kept thinking like, what does an angel smell like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a hypothesis. because a coroner who does a forensic study on the angel body determines that it's like a newborn. No, it's not. It's like an aborted fetus. Why not a newborn? I don't know. But it is the blood composition of an aborted fetus.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, well, maybe it smells. They smell like newborn babies.
Yep.
And sure. But they also have.
Do you think they have really soft skin like a baby?
Yeah. But I think it's like tissue paper soft.
Yeah, I think that's why they get beaten up so easily. Yeah, maybe. They're also perchers.
They all perch like gargoyles.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. Cool, but weird
on construction signs and tombstones, anything that you can perch on, they perch on.
They have to kind of. They're called to it. They also hermaphrodites. Turns out that is in
Dogma as well.
Yeah, hermaphrodites, but the parts are not working, just to be clear. Not working parts.
Yep.
Just for show.
So Simon makes his way to Arizona, right? We don't know how, because he has got a lead somehow. You know, before the movie started, he figured out, like, this is what the warring side is after. He's on the side of the angels, right? He's he's on God's side, right?
Yeah.
And he's the only, I think, agent of God that we follow. We find in this movie. The rest of them are all on the opposite side. They're jealous that humans have, or the talking monkeys, have become gotten into God's grace, and he's thrown aside the angels for us, and so that's pissed off a faction of them. There's a scene early on, right, because our other main character that we're introduced to very early on is Father Thomas Daggett.
Yes.
He's going to be a priest, but he has a crisis of faith at the altar as he's about to be appointed, and loses his faith, even though he sees too much, right? That's what he sees, the
visions.
War. Yeah, that leave him screaming in the middle of the church. It's probably not like a good way to get confirmed.
No.
I agree. I think that's a good reason to back down from being a priest.
You're seeing visions of the holy war in heaven. Yeah, probably.
I'd probably back out too.
And he then becomes a police detective.
Like you do. Same thing.
That's where all the mentally unstable go to work, right? The police. dude, you couldn't keep it together for your ceremony, so we're going to give you a loaded gun and put you on the streets. Have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, apparently he's a learned man. He knows a bunch of...
He wrote a book.
He wrote a book on a treatise on angels. Right.
Yep.
So he's the perfect guy to, you know, assign to, especially
an angelologist.
And he receives a visit from Eric Stoltz. I think this scene is important because I had problems the rest of the movie trying to figure out what the significance of this meeting was.
Yeah, I feel like this scene really. I mean, the beginning of the movie in itself is just kind of chaotic, but this scene really is like where it's set. The track off course, I think, for the rest of the time.
It derailed here. Yes.
It derailed here.
And why?
The scene's not complete.
It's like fragmented. A lot of the movie is fragmented.
Lots of the movie.
The editing is weird.
Yeah, which I can't tell, like, what's going on there. I would love to actually read, like, the original script to see what was intended.
It definitely feels like someone telling a story and they're leaving out information because they think we know.
Maybe.
That's what it feels like.
There was a lot in that particular scene that felt like ADR'd, which means for some of you that they cut the scene together, and then they were like, in order to smooth over the logic gaps, we had to record additional dialogue to, you know, make the scene make sense. But that's what it seems like, because it feels like maybe that scene was supposed to appear later in the movie or something. Right. The reason it feels weird is because Thomas, right, who has a Catholic experience, right? I mean, he knows the stuff about the Catholic faith. He was almost a priest, is confronted with an angel, and it's kind of in his apartment. And he pulls a gun on and has a conversation with, and then forgets about it for the rest of the movie. Because I was like, you know, you've actually seen an angel. You had a conversation with this strange guy in your apartment. There's clues that show up later. He has a St. Christopher's medallion which shows up in a burn pile later, and Daggett's like, oh, Clue. And I'm like, do you recognize that this is Simon?
Right.
That he's the angel that you spoke to earlier?
Yeah.
Also, Simon apparently takes the book that Thomas authored back to his apartment, which is the scene of a murder of the Uziel, right?
Mm-hmm.
He should be putting two and two together. I met this angel. I guess he does later say, Simon is a friend of mine, to the little girl.
He does, but I can't tell if that's... if that's just a tool or if he remembers.
Right. It's very odd. I think because we didn't get the entire scene. Anyway, Thomas is then on the case, right? Because there's a dead guy in the morgue that apparently is an angel, right? And so he's like, well, I got to go to Chimney Rock, right? And the other person who's on the case is Christopher Walken, right? Mm-hmm. Who shows up into the movie. His performance, right, is it at odds with everything around it? He's funny.
His performance is the only thing that makes sense to me in this movie.
Yeah, it cuts up a lot of the tension, I feel like, in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's... I don't know. He's acerbic. He's witty.
Mm-hmm.
He's like this seen it all, done it all. Like, I'm just tired of all this and want to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
It does kind of feel he has that kind of weariness. Like,
yeah.
And he has all the best lines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you have that, you know, divot in your under your lip is because way back before you were born, I told you a secret and put my finger there and said, shh, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
And I like he has a minion, like a little like Renfield.
Yeah. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, I do like this. I like that. I like the like synopsis of this character. So basically, he finds someone who is about to die, and he like interferes and stops them from dying. He like slows it down so that they don't actually leave yet, and then he makes them like his minion. So in this case, it's Adam Goldberg, who has tried to commit suicide, and Christopher Walken like put a pause on it.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of funny.
Right.
I do like this dynamic.
It is, because Adam Goldberg, who was in another indie actor of the time, Dazed and Confused, he just is like, I want to die, you know, let me die. And I'm like, no, not yet. I have some work for you to do.
And he's just so like, he's like, soon.
Yeah. He's like, just do this one more thing for me, and then I'll let you go. Yeah.
He's like, stop whining. Like, it's funny.
It's pretty cool. And like later he recruits somebody else, because Adam Goldberg eventually, I guess, you can still shoot him and he'll die.
Yeah,
I guess
they're just like on the verge of death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but again, like this movie's just very unclear, because you know, Simon gets hurt. I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but Simon gets hurt and then he does die. Where Christopher Walken gets hurt and he's not dying.
Right.
Like, it's not really clear what the rules are here.
I couldn't tell if that was because, like, Gabriel is somehow more powerful. I mean, why? He's an archangel.
Because he's Gabriel.
But you would think becoming human would have, like, a, you know, equalizing effect on all of the angels. But no, apparently, they still possess superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel can put a person to sleep just by saying hush, right? They
can set people on fire.
Yeah. Only angels?
I mean, I feel like he could set anyone on fire, but I think that's just what he's doing.
This is his
mission.
He's burning all the angel evidence behind them.
Right.
I didn't understand why he sent Jerry, his minion, to like go to the police records room for something when he just barges into the morgue and torches Uziel's body.
Yeah, I don't understand. There's a lot that's unclear in this movie. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up.
So then all of our parties converge on this little town in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And we're introduced to another character. Virginia Madsen's in this movie.
Yeah, she pops up in the most random places sometimes.
Oh, that reminds me.
Oh, she's on the wall.
I was going to ask if she was on the wall now.
Thanks to MF Mad, the keeper of the Saturday Night Freak Show wall.
Doing the Lord's work.
Yes, thank you, sir.
We're actually putting four people.
Oh, wow.
From this movie into the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame. But the first is Virginia Madsen, because she was in this.
Mm-hmm. Candyman?
She was in Candyman.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Yep.
And she was in Dune.
The original David Lynch Dune.
Yeah.
And Eric Stoltz, former fired Marty McFly. Yes. He is also on the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame because he was in The Prophecy.
Uh-huh.
He was
Anaconda.
Also in Anaconda.
Okay.
And The Fly 2, which we also did on this show.
Okay.
J.C. Quinn, who was Burroughs in The Prophecy, was also in Maximum Overdrive and Days of Thunder. And Nick Gomez, who was Jason in The Prophecy, I'm sorry, I don't remember this character, was also in Drive Angry and Looper.
Nice.
Okay. Wow,
so at least we got two folks going to the wall and two folks going to the hallway of fame. So your certificates are
fantastic.
In the mail.
Fantastic.
Eric Stoltz has been injured. And where does he take refuge?
A school. It's like an abandoned classroom.
Yeah.
Because we're told that this town was a former mining hotspot and has since...
The mine dried up.
Yeah.
It's like an old Western town that's slowly shuttering.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a ghost town. Almost.
Yeah.
Did you get Western vibes out of this movie?
It wanted to. But it didn't. Like, you can't just show me like a shot of like a mesa and a butte and call that a Western movie. You know, you got to do a little bit more, but it was trying to plant that
seed. But Michaela, there were Pueblos.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
were the angels, the analogs of gunslingers all coming to the town?
They could have been if they had done that. Like, that's how I would have made this movie.
They were wearing dusters.
Yeah. But I would have literally just made it a Western with angels, like Western plus angels equals movie, you know, like that's what I would have done.
I did appreciate that. What's his face? Casey Jones. What's his name?
Oh, Elias Koteas.
Yeah.
Who plays Thomas.
Thomas. Yeah. I did appreciate that in New York, he was like wearing a suit. And then when he went to Arizona, he was wearing a denim shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, damn it. It's hot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe not official business. No, it was because he's investigating. He's like, I got to go out there and find out.
Yep. Look like a local.
my khakis and my chambray shirt. And...
So in this one room classroom.
No, it's an abandoned high school where they just have like taken one little classroom and they're just using that for all the children. And
all the grades.
All the children.
Yeah. And they're used to drifters just coming through and living in parts of the school. Like, that's a normal occurrence.
They're just like, oh, that's normal. They don't hurt anybody usually.
It's like, that's what the police say. It's like, sorry, we're tied up on the interstate. There's an accident. It's going to be a couple hours before they will just shoot them. They're probably harmless.
There's like 20 people in this town and the cops still can't make it to help you out. What is the point?
Everyone's reaction to Eric Stoltz in this movie makes no sense.
They're just like, he's fine.
From the get-go. Yeah. Like, when Thomas comes into his apartment and he's just like perched on his desk chair, he hardly questions why he's even there. Nope. He's just like, who are you? And then that's it. Once he starts talking, he doesn't ask any more questions. Mm-hmm. He's just like, all right, well, you're here. Let's just talk. And then the same thing. He's in this like abandoned school. This little girl comes in and she's like, hi, I'm Mary. And nothing, no fear there. I'm sorry. I'd be terrified if I was a child.
Yes.
And then again, Madsen, she comes in and she's just like, you shouldn't be here. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. The little girl was sitting on his lap sharing lunch.
Right.
Like, you should be more upset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is happening?
I can explain this.
Can you?
Well, yes. But hypothetically,
all
right?
Your theories. Give
me
your theories.
Because my theory is this is the thing that's missing from the movie. This is the thing that was cut out, was somehow because an effect didn't work or something that the angels have when they talk to you. It's like you're hearing the voice of an angel, you know, and all of a sudden your head is in the zap.
Like, you don't question it because you're hearing an angel.
Yeah.
Okay.
And somehow maybe they tried it in post and they're like, oh, fuck, this just isn't working. Why don't we just cut it out?
Yeah.
And that would kind of explain
why everyone's so accepting of it.
Yes. Yeah. It's like those are the scenes that are missing, or the shots that are missing in these scenes, is like the people being put under the sway of like, listen to me.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
You know, and the light shines down.
Like the voice in Dune.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would make sense. It would add some context to this because it doesn't make sense in the grand scheme of things.
I know. Yes. Now you wonder, what is that? Is that right? Is that what?
It tracks. Like, that makes sense.
Because they all do. You're right. They all have that reaction of like, you know, they're in awe of the presence of an angel, but It's just some dude,
right?
You know, in the corner of a schoolroom.
And it's like they're not even in awe. They're just like they're not reacting.
Yeah, they go blank.
It's like if I walked into a room and you were sitting there and I'm just like, it's Colin. Like, there's no reaction.
Yeah, because they've been put in the zap of like, boom, I'm in the presence of it. Okay. But anyway, Eric Stoltz. Okay.
But in the Bible, you have a big reaction to an angel.
Yeah. Usually there's a lot of light.
It doesn't make sense. You're just like crumbling in the presence of an angel. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
All right, we're going to have to read the original script to find out. So
and the Bible, apparently.
Yeah. So Eric Stoltz, being the point man on this reconnaissance mission, has somehow gotten to the chapel where the evil Colonel Hawthorne is being buried, or his memorial service.
Right.
And what does he do?
He makes out with the corpse, Colin, because apparently that's how you retrieve a soul. You suck it out.
So suck
gross.
It out.
Yeah. This movie, it was more gross than I remember.
It really was. It was just,
The sound effects of the jaw popping open and then the sucking the soul out of all the mouths. It's so gross.
A lot of shots of spoiled food.
Yes. Ugh, maggots.
Maggots.
Ugh. Gory aftermath of bodies being dismembered and stuff like that. People licking stuff.
Yep. Yeah. It was gross.
Everybody's in very close quarters in this movie.
Fingers and eyeball holes.
Yep.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one was gross. Yeah. Yep. That was really gross.
So this, of course, begs a theological question. He's able to suck the soul out of a corpse. Why is the soul still there?
That was going to be my question. So why is the soul still hanging out there? Like, does someone have to come get it? Is that
you'd think the most evil soul in the world would already be on to an ex body, right? Because it's the most powerful one, right?
You would think that someone would have claimed it right away. It just would have popped out and all right. Come home something. I don't know. I feel like I've always been under the impression that souls go somewhere immediately.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't just hang out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is this a purgatory situation?
The movie explains this. I was paying attention. There's exposition by the devil when he shows up later on.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that.
That because of the war, all of the souls of everybody who dies have been
closed.
Heaven is closed.
Which is part of Supernatural.
Yeah.
That happens in season 3.
Yeah.
So all the souls have been, this is for the past 1,000 years, apparently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are all remaining in the moldy earth, right?
Right.
And they haven't been called one place or the other, but somehow some of them still go to hell. okay.
So what happens?
Because hell's open even on Christmas.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens if someone's cremated? Their ashes, it stays with their ashes?
Maybe this is answered in Prophecy 3 or 4 or 5.
Maybe. Who knows?
I don't know. See, this is an avenue for a sequel right there. Yep.
Put Sean on the case for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. That's why it's too bad that he's not here tonight because I'm sure that he's seen all the Prophecy sequels.
Probably.
I myself made it as far as the second one.
Mm.
Just because it was on a double feature.
That's as far as you made it, huh?
Yeah. So Eric Stoltz, now in possession of the soul, having sucked it out of the corpse.
And one thing that gets to me about this movie is, so Eric Stoltz, Simon, is supposed to be on the good side of the angels, right? That's what we're getting from this. Yet he is the creepiest motherfucker in this entire movie.
Yes.
And he's supposed to be the good angel. Creepiest character in this movie.
Because he basically propositions a young girl. Well, the scene is done now in hindsight. To be fair, I didn't take it this way when I saw it in 1995, but reading it through a modern lens, it is very pedophile.
Yeah, extremely
fantasy material.
Yeah, extremely.
Because he's hiding, he's wearing a trench coat, and he's always holding it shut. So yes, it looks like he's about to flash.
Yes, he does.
It's because of his wound.
Mm-hmm.
And then the little girl, Mary, comes up there and he's like, I only have a little more time. And that whole scene
from the start when he's like, what's your name? And she's like, Mary. And he's like, well, that's a beautiful name. Yeah, it's just from the get-go. It's disgusting.
Yeah. And so the only way that he can, so what's his plan? What's he going to do with this soul? He's dying. What's he going to do?
Oh, he's going to put it in Mary.
Yeah.
And you put it in the same way you get it out.
Yep, it's so uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable. I was hoping they were going to cut away.
Yeah, and they didn't.
They did not.
They could have done
Eric
a set solid.
Kisses that. Which was she like six?
Yeah,
seven.
She's very young.
Yeah. She's so little.
Yeah.
Yep.
Full open mouth kiss with this child.
So the idea.
Ugh, I'm so put off by this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know it did not play well on this watch. It was like
I'm horrified.
But so the idea is that he has basically vomited this black soul up into her now, and now she is the carrier of the darkest soul on planet Earth.
Never mind. I was maybe that would have been more palatable if it was like a mother bird, like baby bird situation, where he's like regurgitating it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I assume if
maybe
you did
it's
this
a little less disgusting than
modern. You know what you do? I mean, there is some computer generated, bad computer generated stuff. This is Stone Age of that,
it's
but
real bad.
Nowadays, I'm sure you would have just that cloud of black.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, like in Dr. Sleep, how they suck the mist out of them in Dr. Sleep. Yeah. That movie is kind of like this, too. They're collecting all the souls to keep them alive in that movie. But,
interesting.
I lost it. It'll come back.
Collecting their mist.
Yeah.
Was it the mist? No, they called it something else.
They called it, what did they call it?
I've just got spice on the mind.
Yeah.
Spice, I don't know.
So he has now transferred the soul to Mary, little girl, and that means that he can be expelled from the movie. So Christopher Walken immediately shows up. And these scenes, right, with Christopher Walken are in many ways like some of the best parts of the movie, because this is where you get like the mythology, the myth building.
Yes.
You get to understand Gabriel's position, you know, because I think this is where he's like, you know, explaining that, you know, we used to be in his graces. We used to be like right next to him.
We were the favorites.
Yeah.
And then man was created.
And Simon says, like, sometimes you're just not going to understand the plan. Sometimes you just have to do as you're told.
To
like, that
orders,
is faith and that's love, you know. And Gabriel's like, no. And so he kills Simon.
Mm-hmm. And we learn that you have to rip out the heart of the angel in order to kill it when it's on Earth.
Did they do that to Uziel? I guess he did.
He did.
His chest was all ripped up, but I didn't actually see it. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is good to know. You got to tear the heart out.
Yep.
So Daggett, Thomas Daggett, Doubting Thomas, right? Mm-hmm. That's what, okay. arrives in town and he's like on the case and he eventually figures out, you know, that it was this Hawthorne guy was the world's worst soul. That is what the angel, actually he's slow at this, right? For being a detective, right?
A detective who's already talked to the angel. He's just way more behind than he should be.
Cause what is, he's like, they're after a soul.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that. He has established that Mary talked to Simon, and now Simon is dead. Virginia Madsen's like, what are they here for? And he's like, I don't know. Or what do they want with Mary? I don't know.
But he does know, because he followed the clue of the circled article about the colonel. Like, he knows why they're there.
Yeah,
it felt like these two actors were talking in completely different scenes from each other.
Yeah,
what is happening
if the
in this scene?
Are out of order or what? There's a strange detour that I forgot about. It's one of those scenes that you won't remember after you have seen this movie.
He's watching the whole movies.
Yeah, no, no, I remembered that. I think that, you know, that's how we learned that Colonel Hawthorne
is eaten.
You know, was a cannibal and all this other stuff. There's a scene where they find that Gabriel has been squatting in the old abandoned mine.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. This, like, the whole movie comes to a halt at this point.
Right.
Because it makes no sense. It's like Darth Vader in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes no sense. It's just,
what did we learn from, why is the scene, this is why you'll forget it, because why is the scene in the movie?
To show the angel war, I guess.
Yeah, because they have that weird vision.
Yeah.
That
they see
looks
it
like a matte painting.
Yeah, they see the angel war. They see the angels on spikes and the angel dying on a spike.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabriel, right? Because we're assuming this is where Gabriel and his lackey have been hanging out. Why they sleep, I don't know, because we usually see Gabriel perched somewhere waiting for the sun to come up, and time passes as he's just sitting there. So we're saying he went, sometimes he sleeps, sometimes he goes back to the
Jerry
cave.
Sleeps.
And
is it Jerry?
So Jerry's been painting all the angelic script?
No, he's painting while Jerry sleeps.
Shouldn't he be out looking for the whatever?
Yeah, okay, it makes no sense. Okay, yes, makes I no agree sense. With that.
And and we get the vision and we see the all the dead angels. But basically, at this point, I believe that
That's the only service for the mine, right?
Yeah,
That's pretty much the only thing that that's it.
Because aren't they out of it in the next scene?
Yeah,
yeah,
that was it.
There's a close quarters combat that occurs in a, I believe it's Mary's grandmother's
trailer.
Mm-hmm. Between Thomas and Gabriel ends with a big explosion.
Well, I do like the scene before that when Christopher Walken is trying to figure out which kid is carrying the soul, and he's sitting there on the school steps with all the kids. He's teaching him how to play a trumpet.
Yeah.
Looking at his trumpet, right? Yeah. It blows out all the windows of the school. Yeah. That's great.
It's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember your maths, kids. It's the key to the universe. He's good. I mean, he is a big, bright, shining star in this movie. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's funny.
So Gabriel is presumably killed. Knocked out of commission. It's right. And then the movie becomes a Terminator thing. He's always going to keep following us. Mm-hmm. We know he's not really dead. The cops took him away, but
at this point, Mary starts doing the thing where she starts talking in Colonel voice.
Yeah.
Where she's like,
we got to kill them all.
Yeah.
They die better than anybody or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was like, you got to rip the heart out.
So her grandmother, we didn't say, but she's a Native American. And so her grandmother has determined that she's already seen a doctor.
Yeah, doctor didn't help. Can't do shit.
So we got to go and do the ancient ritual up on Old Woman Hill. If Old Woman Butte or something. And where there's a little Indian village, and that is where the climax of the movie is going to take place.
In the Pueblo village.
Yes.
I love a Pueblo.
So our heroes, right, running from Gabriel, go up there in order to do this ritual, which is going to...
do something.
They're trying to exercise her, I guess.
Right.
If that's what they're trying to do... And she's possessed by the most evil soul to ever exist. Show me as a little kid being possessed by that evil and fucking shit up and doing something cool. Instead, she's just in a trance.
She's just my stomach hurts.
Yeah. It's I'm sorry, you're possessed by somebody who's worse than Hitler.
Yeah.
And it just makes your tummy upset. That's it.
In some ways, it does feel like a lack of imagination on the part of... Because I think, right...
One scene would even help, just of her being, ridiculously violent or something for no reason,
Yeah, it's because said...
This would be extreme, but, try to cut off someone's face.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
It's just a MacGuffin. She's got the demon soul in her, or whatever, the soul in her. And just don't worry about it. You know, it's a... She's kind of evil. She's cute, but she's kind of evil. So there's an exorcism.
But it's at this point that the person that I totally forgot was in this movie shows up.
Amanda Plummer?
Oh, no.
No, the other one.
I did forget about Amanda Plummer, too.
She's the second lackey after. Yeah. Who shows up in this movie?
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As Lucifer.
Yeah.
What do we think of Viggo Mortensen's Lucifers? If you're ranking cinematic Lucifers.
I like it.
Yeah, I like him as Lucifer.
This feels like a go-to look for Lucifer, too. The long hair and the, kind of just sleazy. Handsome but vaguely threatening. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He...
A Russian mobster.
Yes. Yeah, he does look... Yeah. Mm-hmm. He whispers, which I thought was a good...
Yeah.
It's his take on it, because I'm assuming that's not direction. That was, what if I whisper, It's creepier. A lot of his hand gestures, he tunes into, I'm the devil. I don't know. I mean, is Al Pacino's devil, going to go down as, one of the all-time...
It's pretty ridiculous. There's a lot of yelling in that performance.
That's the thing is being that I've read through the Bible multiple times, I appreciate the ones that go with the subtle devil, because that's the one that I think is more accurate.
And creepier. Yeah.
And creepier. Like,
it makes sense. You'd want to be inconspicuous. And if you really have all that power, you don't need to, like, flaunt it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, they're often always telling you, like, I can do this and that and that to you. It's like, why do you even care to tell this person that if they're so insignificant, you know?
Well, it's just like that saying, money shouts, but wealth whispers. I feel like that's like demonic power that applies to as well. Like, the guys who have a shred of it are the loudest about it, you know, he's the most powerful one, so he doesn't need DL.
Have you seen The Witches of Eastwick Jack Nicholson is the devil? I don't know. I still like Peter Stormare in Constantine. I thought his was a creepy fucker.
It was really creepy.
This one's pretty good, though. Mm-hmm. I like this devil. He's not in it very much. And at the end, he gets to tempt, you know, them a little bit.
Yeah.
Come home with me, you know. Which actually, I think, is also Peter Stormare's bit in Constantine.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, say what you want about Mel Gibson's portrayal or Mel Gibson's interpretation in his movie. But I liked the subtle devil in the garden in that movie.
Yeah. I remember that,
like,
one.
It was a woman that played it, but with like the man's voice, but it was just very like quiet and just like subtle.
It's almost spookier sometimes.
It was really spooky. Yeah, I thought that was
a horror movie version of it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I thought that was solid. That's one of my favorite portrayals.
This movie, I think, for the time, am I wrong about this? The idea that you would make the devil a heroic figure was kind of, I don't know, to me, I remember when I saw it, I'm like, are we really doing this? We're making the devil the good guy. I mean, now we do it all the time, but at that point in time, I don't know that we had done that in movies. Mm-hmm. Well, not so much that he's a good guy, but it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing, where he's like, it can't be two hells. You know, basically, if Gabriel succeeds, heaven will become another hell.
Yeah.
And two hells is too many, you know. So I'm interested in helping you defeat Gabriel. Yeah. How? What's the secret weapon? How are we going to beat Gabriel?
Take away his faith. Wasn't that it?
This was very, I didn't understand this.
I think that
didn't
was it.
Quite follow this.
He gives Daggett a pep talk, because I also don't know why he approached Virginia Madsen.
No, but it was funny just because we get that scene where she's just like, I talked to the devil tonight, and then they cut away.
Yeah.
That was it.
I'm like, there's more to that, right? And you cut it out.
That's just something you just casually say and then walk away. It's like that is the start of a whole conversation. Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I know I have questions.
Yes.
Yeah. That was good, but there should have been more to it.
But that's how this whole movie is.
The devil gives Daggett, comes up to Daggett, like, all of a sudden, and is like, what's the one thing that an angel, you know, has to have? And I'm like, I don't know that I was following it because Daggett's like, his faith. And like, if you shatter his faith, then, you know, that's your weapon, you know? And you're like, okay, I'm not entirely sure. So how's Daggett gonna do this? There is another subplot here that really doesn't go anywhere, but the Amanda Plummer character, like, he has to visit Gabriel has to go to a hospital and wake her up at the moment of her death, which is like an amusing scene. Hi, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's funny.
And then there's that scene where they go to the diner.
Yeah.
And she's just all blubbering and all that. And while he's all bloody and trying to ask for directions in order to get up to Old Woman Butte or whatever. But these scenes, they're amusing. And like I said, they are kind of, in some ways, the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
But they're erroneous to the movie itself.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very confusing because you're like, I like it, but also, like, can we just move on?
Yeah.
Like, it's very confusing.
Because why was Amanda Plummer in the movie? What's the payoff to her character?
There isn't.
She apparently dies when they drive up.
Yeah.
And
they crash through a pueblo, and that's it.
And she's out.
She's out.
She's out of the, This is while the Indian ceremony is going on, right? Well, I was like, nearly killed everybody in that room by driving the car through there.
I appreciate that none of them flinched.
Right. Yeah. I know. That was wild. Going. Just
kept going.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith.
Interesting that the movie, right. Yeah, would choose Native American mysticism or religion over Catholicism in a movie about an award.
It made that choice made no sense, but it was one of the few things I appreciated.
Yeah, same. I thought it was an interesting choice. Yeah,
it was interesting.
Yeah. And, like, I always appreciate Native American representation.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But I didn't understand it.
It makes no sense.
There was no explanation, really.
It makes no sense at all.
But there were a lot of things about this movie, you're like, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
That's interesting.
Interesting choice. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Not sure how that connects to the previous thing at all, but okay. Yeah.
So how does Daggett defeat Gabriel? Like, what is the, what's he do? How's he get him?
That's a good question, because I still don't entirely understand. He talks to him.
He empathizes with him.
He empathizes with him and is like, I understand why you feel this way, but I don't really see how he's like change or turning his face.
No, I didn't get that either.
I don't understand.
I see what they're trying to do because, you know, in hindsight, it's like, okay, they kind of laid this in. Daggett is a guy who wanted to be a priest who says that he heard God's voice and then all of a sudden one day it was gone.
Yeah.
And he's like, I would rather it would have been better never to hear that voice than to lose it. And so he's like, I share this with Gabriel. I know what you're feeling. You know, that
you had
been
God's love and then it was taken from you.
Basically trying to convince, I think, Gabriel that you're not on this holy crusade. You're just acting out of jealousy, mm-hmm. which then the devil shows up and says, yeah, basically jealousy is a sin. That's evil. That makes you evil.
Right.
That's my department.
That's my bag.
So maybe I don't know what Thomas actually played into the ending, because Virginia Madsen shoots him, that weakens him, and then the devil shows up and rips his heart out and eats it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
and the devil like encourages the natives to like keep your chant going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that soul out of her, because I need it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's mine.
Okay, so Lucifer, down there in your basement, Christopher Walken says, gets all these evil souls, right?
Yeah.
Apparently a soul that he knows from the angels could lead an army, right? Because it's so evil and wicked, right? But he's just going to go to hell and hang out with Lucifer, I guess, like the Lucifer's not interested in taking things over, I guess. He just likes things status quo. That's his deal. He's just like, I like my situation right now.
Yeah.
All right. I'm curious. I'm just making sure that we've got the logic of this all sorted out, because it seemed like this was important.
Right.
That we have to get this soul.
He's got Casterly Rock. He doesn't need King's Landing.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Right.
And so that, I guess, leaves the movie on a happy ending. The soul has been vanquished, and the little girl is back to normal. The angel Gabriel is dead. The war is over.
Mm-hmm. I guess. And did they, like, become romantic at some point? Because they're, like, hugging, and he's, like, kissing her head.
Yeah.
I'm like, when did they become a couple? Did I miss that?
I felt the same way. I was like, okay,
it's one
I guess
of those,
trauma
are
bond.
Yeah, it's a trauma bond.
Are they a family now? Like,
I don't know.
Right.
I don't
What's know? Happening?
He's a man. She's a woman. They're single. They got nothing else going on. They shared this experience, the trauma bond.
I can't find logic in that.
Okay.
By that logic, Sean and I would date. That makes no sense.
Well, you need a trauma bond. Well, being on this show for
trauma.
This night,
we've both had
same,
enough trauma.
But it has to be the same trauma.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it has to be.
That's
Remember, true. He's unaffected by a lot of the things we are traumatized
that's true.
By. So, yeah. You know.
That's true.
All right. Well, as we work out how to construct a trauma bond connection between Holly and Sean, first of all, and we're going to recommend or not this movie.
We did make a pact to get married at some point if we're both single, but I feel like we settled on like 90.
Oh.
We're like,
there's still ways to go on that.
Let's keep it like really far out there.
You get a little ways to go then.
We put it pretty far out there.
Well, first of all, ladies and germs, we're going to read some of your mail. And in order to do that, we're going to have to summon our mailman, Igor. Bring us the mail.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
Star of Brain Scan, as we learned last week. Holly, you weren't here for this. Igor was in a movie and never told us.
Really?
He answers the phone for Edward Furlong in Brain Scan. He literally is like Igor, like a smartphone, like, programs with a portrait of him and everything that says, Master, you have a phone call.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. Igor was in a movie and didn't tell us.
Is he on the wall now?
I mean,
well, I guess he should be, right?
We're like, I mean, we haven't watched any of the Frankenstein movies.
We watched.
Oh, no. Yeah, we did.
Yep.
Well, that may not have been. Well,
Might be on the wall.
Yeah. You gotta watch Brain Scan for Igor. Yes, Mister.
Yes.
All right. We should let the good folks at home know how they can participate on this interactive portion of our show by following along on Facebook.
Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show.
On X.
@SatFreakShow.
By emailing us directly.
SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
Or following along on Instagram and maybe Threads. Anybody on? Okay. It's Saturday Night Freak Show. About tonight's movie, James Mace writes in and says, years and years ago in the 1990s, I showed this to a girl I was trying to date. I never got past second base, but I digress. Anyway, she was raised Catholic and it scared the hell out of her. She later said that she prayed all the way home.
Oh my God.
I was likely praying that evening too, but like I said, I never got an inch past.
I think now we understand why you only got second base.
Yep.
She was Catholic.
Mike Miller says, oh, great choice. Being raised Catholic, this is a type of religion-based horror I love and appreciate. I think the casting is perfect across the board, especially with Walken giving a genuinely great performance before he became a parody of himself. And we get Elias Koteas and Eric Stoltz along with Viggo cameos. Lucifer, sign me the fuck up for that. I feel like this one is a bit under rated as a 90s horror pre-Scream, seems to get overlooked quite a bit, but this is a solid movie that more people should see.
I love that we woke up the Catholics with this one.
I know.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah. Happy nunsploitation spring to you all.
This is when the religious horror movies come out. Richard Kratzer says, great pick this week, gang. I've always loved this movie and I never thought it got enough attention. There's four sequels to this book. But anyway, Richard says there wasn't enough scenery for Christopher Walken to chew during this flick.
Yeah.
Such a great performance, and Viggo's portrayal of Lucifer is right up there with Pacino and Peter Stormare. Oh, there you go. Mike Welch says Viggo after prison, the movie Prison. Man, Fangoria had some killer coverage of this movie when it was called God's Army.
That's a cool title.
Under God's Army.
Yeah.
Travis Legler says, overall, this could be a lot of fun. Plus, for people like myself and Sean, there are four follow-up films. Side question. Am I the only one who used to confuse Elias Koteas with Christopher Maloney? For years, I thought that guy played Stabler was also Casey Jones in Turtles 1 and only in 1 because 3 makes some of us so angry to talk about.
I can honestly say I've never confused those two.
Now I'm going to think about it, though.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah.
No, I know Casey Jones is always Casey Jones.
Casey Jones, yeah. 100%.
Michael Whitaker says, is Elias Koteas on the... Because we did Fallen.
Uh-huh.
And didn't we do Turtles 1? Like, way back in the... Were you guys here for...
I feel like you
were. I was not here
for Turtles 2. I feel like 2?
You did.
We did the one with Vanilla Ice, the coolest.
That's the second one.
That's the second one.
We did the first. All right, anyway. We'll have to check. Michael Whitaker says, this is a franchise that was famous for me because the trailers for the sequels were always playing before the various movies we'd rent as a family. And for the first time I was even aware of it existed was, for Prophecy 2. In fact, I think it was years before I managed to find the first Prophecy playing on the Sci-Fi Channel. I was actually convinced for a while the first one must have been lost or something. I don't even think the first one was in my video store.
Wow.
Really?
That's crazy. Really? What an odyssey you went on to get the first movie.
Yeah. I mean, I was there when Prophecy came out. I saw it in theaters. And it was all over the place. Then it was on video and you couldn't miss it. Then there were sequels.
Uncle Colin, I was there.
Yeah.
I lived it.
Last week we watched a movie called Brain Scan, and Justin Denny Hall says, well, we described, I think Michaela did, that Brain Scan was found in the grocery store movie section.
Yeah.
He says that's funny since that's the first place I saw this in the rental section of a now closed grocery store in my hometown when I was a child. That was called McKay's Market.
Yes. Okay, so they always had the main, like, two shelves of the really mainstream popular new releases, but then everything else was just random stuff.
Random shit.
With,
yeah.
Usually, it seemed like they just picked it based on the cool cover art. Because it was always had cool cover art.
I think they bought stuff in bulk.
Yeah.
And so it was just like they would get like a, you know, like a big box and be like, okay, you'll get these like three new ones.
Yeah, you'll get one copy of Titanic and then a copy of Jumanji.
And then you're going to get like a shit ton of, like, you know, like Night of the Demons shit.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve Carney says, wow, I had no idea. Oh, we were talking about T. Rider Smith, who played the trickster. Mm-hmm. In Brain Scan, well, after the fact of we recorded the episode and I looked up like what else he had actually done, he played Sander Cohen in the video game BioShock.
Oh,
a lot
nice.
Of folks are familiar with, and Steve Carney says, wow, I had no idea he played Sander Cohen. I love it when you discover actors from something a while ago that are still working, albeit this is 94 to 2007, which isn't exactly recent, but still.
That is always fun when you uncover little connections like that.
Yeah, because he's like one of the main antagonists of BioShock. That's the trickster from Brain Scan. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's why you listen to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The week before, we watched a movie called Sunshine.
Yeah.
Which stars Mark Strong as the villain, although you'll be damned if you can actually find him in that movie. But Jacob Laws says Mark Strong is great in everything he does, usually. He was great in Body of Lies as a Jordanian intelligence agent, his Sinestro in Robin Hood. What's that kid's name? Who's And Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
He had a great introduction in Zero Dark Thirty as the CIA chief chewing everyone out. Huh. Wasn't he also the antagonist in Sherlock Holmes? Is that Mark Strong? Robert Downey?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was in, did you guys ever see Stardust?
No.
I love that movie. It's a fantasy movie. It's like it's kind of like Princess Bride.
Yeah.
But there's a star-studded cast. It's like Michelle Pfeiffer. De Niro's in it. It's a fantastic movie. Yeah. And Mark Strong is in it.
Okay.
It's really funny. It's really good.
All right.
Yeah, you should watch that.
Well, yeah, you should watch that one. But should you watch The Prophecy? Now you're going to find out. Starting with
Michaela, start us off.
So I knew I had seen this once before and I didn't remember much of it except for like a lot of the stuff in the first act, like the eye gouging and like I remembered the look of the movie more than like the plot so much. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage sometimes with movies like this because I do not have all the like religious educational background that you have, Holly. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm a little like remedial on this kind of stuff because like I don't know the basics they're referencing, so like I have
they made them all up.
Yeah,
that Bible verse about the angel.
That's not real.
see I can't be on a religious Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'll do so fucking terrible. But it's, you know, I do like Walken's performance and I do like some things about it, but I just don't understand what the main thrust of the movie was, and it comes across as messy and it doesn't really work for me. I wanted to see more of like the footage of the holy war going on because every time we got glimpses at that, it was really cool.
It was really cool.
And some of it, like the matte paintings and the little bit of like it looks like claymation stuff almost, maybe some CG, that made me think like, what would Sam Raimi's like prophecy look like? And I would really like to see him do his full weird thing with a movie like this. I have a hard time getting into like religious centric stuff like this, just like because I said it's a lot of lore that I have to take in.
It's foreign to you.
Yes, it is. And I found this one just a little too dull for me. It did feel like a stretched out Supernatural. Mm-hmm. Especially those first like two seasons of Supernatural. That's really what this feels like because they did not have a budget in those early seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pass on it, but it's like a soft pass. Like, I don't hate this movie. I understand why our listeners like it, but this is just not my flavor. So I'm going to pass on it. Holly, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think you make some really good points. Mm-hmm. I do like movies that have that like religious lore to it. because of my background. It's my jam.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I like it. But I like it, but I feel like I have found that it rarely does it for me. Like, it's hard for me to find a movie where I'm like, that's it. You're scratching the itch for me on this one. And I feel like this one is like most others that it does fall short. I think it could be really cool, and I would like to see a movie that goes just like full, like unhinged, like holy war. I think that'd be awesome. Like a big budget supernatural. Like, that would be rad. But yeah, I feel like this one does, it is messy. That's that's exactly right. It's messy. It doesn't make sense contextually. Like, it doesn't make sense. There's the editing is really weird, or the script is really weird, or both. I can't tell what it is, but there are lots of things missing from this movie. It doesn't really make sense. I don't hate it. It's not like offensively bad. I was getting pretty sleepy though. Christopher Walken, hands down the best part of this movie. He's fantastic. Anytime he's on screen, it's great. Maybe if there was more of him, it would be better. I don't know. But he's wonderful. He's funny. Nobody's doing bad in this movie.
Right.
Like, everyone is doing fine. I'm not offended by anyone's performance. I think everyone's doing fine with what they have. I think Eric Stoltz's character is really fucking weird, and I don't like that. It's icky. Not sure where that came from. I don't think that was a choice. I think that was the way it was written and directed, and that character's icky. I don't like it. And I like Viggo Mortensen. I think his portrayal was really cool. But this movie didn't do it for me. There's a lot missing. It could have been cool, but it fell short for me. So, not offensive, but it didn't give me that crazy holy war that I wanted. I don't know if anything ever will, to be honest. Colin?
Maybe Prophecy 2.
I doubt it. Okay.
At some point, he becomes like mortal because obviously Gabriel's back, and then third one he ascends because it's called Ascension.
You know what? I found my mission from an X pick. I'm gonna do a little research before my next pick.
Oh boy!
I'm gonna pass on this, but it's a soft pass. It's not a hard pass. It's not offensive. There was some fun stuff in it. Just didn't quite do it. Colin, take us home.
I brought this movie because I've been complaining that 90s movies, specifically 90s horror movies, all suck. And
a claim you've had for quite some time.
Yes. And so I think this one also sucks. Well, okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. So this is a movie where it has a concept, that's one of those high concept movies. You pitch this idea and somebody's going to buy it and say, make that movie. Angels are at war and they come to Earth, right? And you've got Christopher Walken, who agreed to do this movie. God bless him. Because if you were going to see it, that is the reason. His portrayal of Gabriel is nothing short of great. He's mesmerizing when he's on screen. He's funny. He has interesting things to say because he gets all the lore.
His hair looks like a football helmet.
Heavily dyed, and
it's pretty bad.
It's the plot. Well, the plot is the problem number one. We got to go find the soul, and it's hidden in a little girl. And you're like, oh no, we got to find the little girl with the thing that, you know, is going to save the world or destroy it. And it really never fleshes that out. Because I was always kind of underwhelmed by the idea that, well, we're just going to make this colonel in the evil angel army. And you're like, this is how you're going to. I don't know. It seemed like it was short-sighted on the imagination scale for what the concept is. And then I think the second... So it's like, okay, you got great concept, and then this pedestrian subplot, and then you have the editor. And I know Dimension Films at the time, it was run by Bob Weinstein, right? Who I think is probably regretting the day that he was ever born, a Weinstein, but he had control of Dimension, And but Bob Weinstein was also a character. And I think if you go back and listen to our Phantoms episode, it was where we talked about like the interference, or maybe it was Hellraiser Deader or
Hellworld.
Hellworld, yeah. Right? Because weren't we talking about like Bob Weinstein would?
I think we talked about it in Phantoms too. Yeah,
right. Doesn't he like he approves a movie, yes, and you go off to shoot it, and then he's watching the grosses of something that came out this week,
yep,
and calls you up in the middle of the night as a director, mm-hmm, and is like, "You got to put polar bears in it. Yep. People really like polar bears."
Yep,
you know, and you're like, "What, Bob? What the fuck are we?" Mm-hmm. You know, and he would do that with Wes Craven,
right?
You know, so it didn't really matter who it was. Right. But this funny movie kind of, and then you know he had, I think, Final Cut, and would, mm-hmm, just, I don't know, this movie feels like it was edited with a chainsaw, mm-hmm, and maybe you don't have that impression of it because you saw it a while ago, but mm-hmm, I mean, watching it tonight, it's like, yeah, there might have been a movie there, but they hacked the living shit out of it, and uh-huh, what's left over makes no goddamn sense. Yes, it moves, and you can go like, well, I know what they were all after, and you know, all this other stuff, but I'm saying it's not really compelling. So the question that I guess I was left with was, are the individual parts worth actually recommending the movie? And I don't know. I mean, do you need to see it for, you know, Christopher Walken's performance? I don't think so. I mean, like now, you know, I think if you watched it at the time, you know, you may have nostalgia for it, but it's not really a very good movie. I don't think. I didn't, even tonight, I was like, oh man, yeah, we're going to spend a lot of time on this plot. Like, I don't care.
And it's not like it's like an, oh, you can't miss this Christopher Walken performance. Like we've seen.
Yeah, because he's doing Christopher Walken. Yeah, right. It's just amusing that he's the, yeah, angel caper, you, right, know, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, it's, like I guess you guys were saying, it's a soft pass, you know, it's like not like avoid at all costs. It's just, mm-hmm, like, you know, if you haven't seen it, do you need to actually check this one out? You know, mm-hmm, I think a lot of people will, though. I think they already did. Mm-hmm. But I think personally, I didn't think it was a good movie. I think it falls short of being a good movie. I think there's, mm-hmm, a lot of problems with it. And ultimately, those overshadowed what I liked about it, mm-hmm, so that would be a pass. So unfortunately, that's all three of us,
yeah,
anti the prophecy, yes, which is kind of surprising based on, mm-hmm, its cult reputation.
Could you have prophesized that we would all pass?
No, I guess I couldn't. I kind of figured, but there we go. Next week we're going to watch a movie that's chosen by
Sean. Does Mr. Sean have a proxy tonight?
Yes, we're going to watch The Butterfly Effect.
Oh, The Butterfly Effect.
Okay. With,
Ashton Kutcher. Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Eric Stoltz in that one, too? Isn't he the pedophile?
Is he?
Am I wrong?
I think he is.
Oh, my gosh. I'm pretty sure he is.
I'm having a
He has that glass of whiskey that, yeah, he's always drinking.
Oh, my,
yeah,
that's funny.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Making
Eric Stoltz-a-thon, I guess. We didn't realize.
There you go, yeah.
Okay. So it's my new mission to find a third one.
You got it.
All right. Well, next week, it's the time travel adventure thriller. Horror.
It might be a horror.
Yeah.
The Butterfly Effect. We hope you'll join us. And until then, ladies and germs, the basement is going dark.